The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, no democracy is perfect, but let's get back to Simon Marks out in Las Vegas. Simon, I mean, we're not going to take sides on the credibility on Vodafone, but it certainly got a lot of attraction in the media thanks to Donald Trump. I just wonder, though, you know, to the undecided voters out there, this verbal rhetoric about, the election fraud and voter fraud, is this really, what is it going to do to the undecided voters, the voters that both these candidates so desperately need, or I should say probably Donald Trump desperately needs, on his side?
Well, look, I think it's a very interesting question as to how all of this plays in households where undecided voters live. 15% of voters here tell pollsters that they are undecided in this election, and this debate tonight here was the candidate's last opportunity, really, in a big way, to reach into those living rooms and to bring people over. But it is such an unprecedented thing for a candidate to say that he's not necessarily going to accept the outcome of the election, and he appeared to be suggesting that his argument that the election is rigged against him is based on the fact that he believes that Hillary Clinton engaged in criminal behavior while she was Secretary of State and should not have been allowed to run in the election. It almost sounded as though he was laying the groundwork for some kind of legal case to challenge whether she actually had the right to run for election. And I think certainly on this side of the Atlantic, that claim is going to be the dominant issue that comes out of this this debate, even though in other areas of the debate, Donald Trump made far more progress, I think, in landing blows on Hillary Clinton than he did in the previous two debates, particularly over the issue relating to her use of a private email server and to her stewardship as Secretary of State and the role she played, he argues, helping to foment a situation on the ground in Syria that led to the creation of Islamic State and the prominence that it plays on the ground there. But, you know, whether those points survive the discussion that's going to begin here now about whether, in fact, he'll accept the outcome of the election and how that impacts those undecided voters, I think that's a very open question. And Republicans, I think, will be quite concerned about whether this does very much to boost his chances in the opinion polls.
Okay, many thanks, Simon. Stay right there.
Well, let's get back to Simon Marks live on the ground to Las Vegas University of Nevada for his observations. Hey, Simon.
Adam, a bit of news from here. As I was saying a few minutes ago, this issue of whether Donald Trump will accept the outcome of this debate is the dominant point of discussion on this side of the Atlantic. And muddying the waters further, shortly after the debate ended, his campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, gave an interview to an American cable network and said that Donald Trump will accept the outcome of the election, despite what he had said just minutes before on the debate stage. She was pursued in that issue and walked away from the interview, refusing to take any further questions on the subject. So, again, if you're an undecided voter sitting at home and you've just heard Donald Trump say he won't say whether he's going to accept the outcome of the election, but then minutes later his campaign advisor saying that he will, that is bound to lead to some confusion in the minds of voters. There's confusion, too, coming from some normally loyal Republican supporters. Brett Brett Stevens is the opinion page editor of the Wall Street Journal, the usually reliably Republican Wall Street Journal newspaper. He tweeted at the end of the debate, "The world has been turned upside down. Hillary Clinton defends Reagan and wants to stand up to the Russians. The Republican presidential candidate, not so much." So Republican supporters are trying to make sense of some of the things that Donald Trump had to say tonight, but they are buoyed by his performance here. They believe that he put on, in general terms, a much stronger, much more self-assured performance than he did in the first two debates, and that on various issues, including foreign policy, and you heard that clip there, he put Hillary Clinton on the ropes.
Been a big issue. Let's get back out to Las Vegas, where Simon Marks is joining us right now. Simon.
Well, just talk a little bit more about immigration. I mean, you know, let's be honest, everybody, there isn't going to be a wall built here, and everybody involved in this process knows that, because there are no circumstances under which the Congress of the United States, even as it's currently constituted, is going to get on board and fund the building of a wall. So Donald Trump has made great headway during the course of this election with the kind of talk and the rhetoric that he's used about immigration. With one exception, though, this issue of the deportation force. You know, we saw polling data yesterday, a Fox News poll that suggested that over 70% of American voters do not support the idea of the mass deportation of illegal immigrants. And that undercuts, to some extent, the progress that Donald Trump was hoping, I think, to make on that particular issue. I should tell you that in the spin room, where the two campaigns are both, of course, declaring victory in this debate, as you would expect them to declare. Sean Spicer, who is the spokesman for the Republican National Committee, is saying that the RNC, the party, will respect the will of the people in the election. He said, "I cannot speak for what Donald Trump thinks." As I said earlier, Kellyanne Conway, his campaign advisor, says that even though Donald Trump said he won't accept the outcome of the election, he will. But there's another campaign spokesman telling reporters it's much too early to know what's going to happen as the result of this election, because the election hasn't taken place yet. So very muddied waters on that particular issue. One other issue that I think there's no question Donald Trump made some headway on, and that's free trade. He raised the TPP issue and he challenged Hillary Clinton about her flip. She used to be opposed in favor of it. She now says she's opposed to it. That's an indication of one issue that is going to, I think, continue to dog Hillary Clinton in the weeks remaining in this election campaign, and perhaps if and when she gets to the White House.
If and when. Thanks for that, Simon. Yeah, and let's get the thoughts of Simon Marks as well. Simon, you've been listening in. Your thoughts on the TPP discussion and the focus on Asia?
Absolutely, Steve. I mean, whatever happens, whatever the outcome of this election, President Clinton or President Trump, the reality is that the U.S. relationship with the region will be at an inflection point, because neither of these candidates has espoused the idea of really viscerally, visibly getting behind the pivot to Asia that Barack Obama championed when he became president of the United States. TPP, for many countries throughout the region, is obviously absolutely pivotal. They want to see the thing become law here in the United States. TPP is heading to its last chance up on Capitol Hill. Many lawmakers believe that if it doesn't get passed in what's known as the lame duck session of Congress, that's the session of Congress that takes place after the votes are counted here, after the election is over, and before the inauguration and the arrival in Washington, D.C. of the new Congress. So there's a very narrow window of time for that to occur. If it doesn't get done during that lame duck session of Congress, then there may never be another opportunity to pass TPP. So whatever happens, Trump or Clinton in the White House, that relationship's heading to an inflection point.
All right, Simon, thanks very much for that. We're going to move...